Welcome to the Chris Spangle Show, the very first episode of the Chris Spangle Show here. Even though the actual podcast has existed in iTunes for several months now, and up until now, the feed has kind of existed as a way for me to put things that I want to listen to onto my iPod. And I just put the feed out there to catch a few subscribers. And I'm actually surprised by the amount of people that have subscribed up to this point. I'm guessing that you people, the folks that are listening to this, are the hardcore fans of the WAL Radio Network. And to you, I really want to give a sincere thank you. You know, I've wanted to launch a podcast, let alone a podcast network, since early 2005. That's when I really started listening to podcasts, and it has been my main form of information and entertainment since 2005. And, you know, we're even considering getting rid of cable just so I can catch up on more podcasts. I worked at a radio station. I was interning at the time at WXNT here in Indianapolis, and I was the morning show intern and eventually became the morning show producer for Abdul Hakim Shabazz on Abdul in the Morning. And Andrew Lee, who is now the program director, I think he's program director, he may be general manager, so if he's GM and not PD, I apologize. What am I kidding? He's not ever going to hear this. So Andrew is the PD out in Twin Cities Talk out in Minnesota. That's where the Twin Cities is. And I went into his office and I said, you know, I really like listening to Abdul's show, but it would be so convenient to have the show in a podcast form so I could take it with me the rest of the day and download it onto my iPod. And very reminiscent of what Decca Records said to the Beatles. Very reminiscent of what was told to the Beatles early on. Podcasting, that thing will never catch on. And, you know, so we just didn't do a podcast until several years later when it became a thing. And if you know anything about the radio industry, it's very ego and vanity driven. So they don't do anything unique until somebody else does it. And then it catches on and then everybody else copies it and runs it right into the ground. So you may remember the jack format. So everybody had a jack radio station in their town. Well, that was a format that really started to seem to do well and caught on. And so then they put a jack in every single town in America. So I could tell early on that podcasting was going to catch on. It was sort of the next wave of talk radio. And I eventually managed the podcast for the radio station in 2007, 2008. And that was really the only time they ever did podcasting. And then I went on to the Libertarian Party of Indiana, and we launched a podcast. Mike Cole is a fellow podcast believer, and he started the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, and I took that up in 2011, 2012. And lo and behold, they don't do much podcasting. And so now here I am, you know, launching We Are Libertarians, launching, you know, a network. I helped Maya get her show started, and, you know, now we're developing a couple other shows. And I really feel there are some things that I want to do, and, you know, when I feel like I have something that I want to say or an interview that I want to do that may not necessarily fit into one of the other shows, I'm going to put it here and then promote it this way. You know, I have several friends that I really think would be interesting to talk to because they come from a different point of view. And it just may not be right for We Are Libertarians because that has a definite, you know, We Are Libertarians is a weekly roundtable, and Lord knows we can't add another person to that show. And the other shows are not mine, so I can't invite people onto those shows. So what you may hear here is if I feel like I've got something to say, then I will crack the mic and I will talk into it. You may hear, you know, interviews from time to time here. I can't promise any frequency. You know, I'm on top of the other shows, making sure that they're done on time, that they're regular, that they're consistent. And I just don't have the ability to make this a regular feed. So, but please don't delete me from your favorite podcaster. your favorite podcatcher. So I promised you that I'd take you behind the scenes of the WAL radio networks and some of the shows. You know, so that's sort of my personal interest in podcasting and how it started to develop. I've always been an absolute talk radio nut. That's what I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to, you know, be either Bob and Tom, or I wanted to be Tom Carnegie, or I wanted to be, you know, Howard Stern, or, you know, I wanted to be a talk radio show host. And once I started working in radio, I really could tell that I wasn't going to have the wherewithal to move every 3 years to top out at $30,000 and really not progress past that after 30 years in radio. It's a horrible business. It's full of scumbags, and I just wasn't interested. And, you know, it really doesn't need to be a career. It can be a hobby for me. And, you know, this has turned out to be a fun hobby for myself and all the other people involved in the podcasts. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I came into a little bit of money. I wasn't gambling. I came by it honestly. And it was the middle, it was August of 2011. And so I just found myself with a couple, you know, probably around $1,500 extra, which at the time was a bounty. And I could have put that money into a savings account. I could have put that in down towards my car. But instead, I bought podcast equipment. I made the only rational, logical choice that I still try to tell myself that that was a great investment many years later. And honey, if you're listening, yeah, that's, she doesn't know that. So who am I kidding? She's not going to listen to this. So I invested, we'll use that word, about $1,500 into podcasting equipment. I went down to Guitar Center and Best Buy, and I got several things. So here was the formation. Here's the equipment that we initially built the We Are Libertarians podcast and the other Libertarian Party of India podcast at that time that we were doing. We built it around this equipment. First was the board, okay? It was a Labor Day sale, and I got the Alesis Multimix 8 USB with FX for, I got actually a deal on it, and I got it for about $120. And it served as a very good board for a long time. My frustration was that it didn't have enough ports. So that's been the board that we still use. Maya uses it for her shows. When we have to go online and use the USB, we still use that board on occasion. But it's certainly no longer my favorite, which I'll get into my favorite board a little bit later. So we use the Alesis Multimix 8, and overall, I'm happy with it. I bought a Behringer board recently, and if you're thinking about buying podcasting equipment, do not buy Behringer, please. The board that I bought, it's just a tiny two-person board that's very portable, it's very little, and it just does not sound good. And so Alesis is kind of the next step up from that. And I've recommended it to a friend, and a friend of mine bought it, and he's happy with it. So if you're looking for just sort of a starter board that's going to give you some flexibility in the beginning, it's got four XLR ports and then a couple more ports, and it's really served us well. I found on clearance 3 30-foot gold cords, essentially. They're XLR mic cords, and they're monster cables. I found them second. What I found first was at Guitar Center, they have these little racks of $15 cords. And these $15 cords seem like they're going to be a great deal. Like, oh, great. All right, 15-foot cords for $15. That's, you know, a dollar a foot. They're horrible. They didn't work. I had to take them back almost immediately. And then the guy behind the counter at Guitar Center was like, I don't know why you bought those boards. Those cords, they're awful. I have to throw those away all the time. It's like, well, then why are you selling them, dude? You know, I love Guitar Center. That's where I've bought the bulk of my equipment. I go there probably once a month just to look around and hope that they have something new, even though they really don't. Because my specific interests don't, there's not many updates. They're sort of like hipster IT guys, okay? They all have the hipster glasses. They all have the hipster hair. They're all in bands. You know, they're all kind of in their mid-40s. They're all really nice dudes, but they're also a little bit snooty. So sometimes if you don't select the right piece of equipment, they give you the Nick Move treatment. So it's you can get good help when you go to Guitar Center. You just kind of maybe have to switch guys halfway through the conversation. But I really, if you don't know a lot about podcasting, if you don't know exactly what you're going to get, I would recommend going to Guitar Center over Best Buy or Radio Shack or some other, or even an online retailer, and doing it yourself. Unless you've done your homework, go to Guitar Center and find one of those guys and have a conversation with them, and they'll help you find out what you need, and they won't force you to overspend. They'll tell you exactly what's good and what isn't. So I took the cords back, and I bought high-quality cords. I spent, you know, a lot of money. My sets of cords are very expensive. They're ProLink Performer 500s. They're low noise. They're, gold. They're very, very solid cords. And if you don't get good cords when you're doing a podcast or you're doing music, then your sound isn't as good. And, you know, especially for something like a podcast, you're going to get a lot of hum. You're going to get a lot of buzz if you don't get the right chords and you don't have the right settings on the board. So I would really not skimp out on one or two chords. It depends on how your podcast is going to be set up. You know, there are any times where here on We Are Libertarians, we have several people in the studio and I just don't have enough good chords. So we use sort of the crummy Radio Shack chords, and they work okay. You can't really tell a difference at home, but you want to strive for sounding good or sound, you know, and getting good chords is going to do that for you. Now, the microphones that we use, we have three SM48s, okay? The SM58 is sort of the gold standard, the Shure, I should have put that in there. The Shure SM48s are just kind of a step below the SM58s, which are like the gold standard for vocal mics. The reason we went with the 48s is because they were on sale, and I got them for fairly cheap. They're not necessarily cheap microphones. I think they're retail about $50 each. But I notice when I'm editing, I notice a difference. I can tell who is using the Shure and who is using one of the other mics. Okay, so sort of I have a couple other mics that we use. The Samsung R21S, and this is a mic that I got at Best Buy off the shelf there, you know, the $20 or $30 microphone, and I've got a Samsung Q2U, which is a USB and XLR mic, and that sounds okay, but I can definitely tell the difference when I'm listening to the podcast, when I'm editing it. I can tell who's using the Shure microphones and who is using the Samsungs. Now, maybe I'm a little too geeky about this stuff, but I'm guessing that if you're listening to a podcast on how to podcast, then you're probably a little bit geeky about it as well, and you're probably going to care about that equipment. The reason I it's just a cost thing. I haven't gone and upgraded. I've just sort of been slowly piecing together more and more items, and I haven't gone and bought a couple new Shures just because I don't need them. I've needed other stuff first, so those are the microphones that we do. If we get into a bind, I shouldn't admit this. When we get into a bind, I will use a Radio Shack microphone. It is a cheap plastic Radio Shack microphone that I've had forever, but I've had to use it. It sounds horrible, and it's a piece of crap. And if you're going to podcast, then really you need to treat your listeners right. Okay, don't go on Blog Talk Radio. Don't buy cheap, crappy equipment like Radio Shack microphones. Invest in the XLR, which is the sort of the standard of what you'd have with a heavy microphone. If there's no weight to your microphone, don't use it. There should be weight to a microphone. It should be heavy. And, you know, when we use that Radio Shack microphone, it just, It drives me crazy, and I know as a listener you may or may not be able to tell, but I can, and I hate using it, but sometimes we just, you know, between the two sets of equipment that we have, we can kind of have built up enough stuff that we can give Maya a set of equipment, and we have a set of equipment, and do two shows simultaneously now. So sometimes we have to use that Radio Shack equipment. I mean, if your kids have a karaoke set, that's who the Radio Shack microphone is for, the $20 Radio Shack mic. You know, if you're podcasting, you got to use good stuff. You got to use quality equipment. You got to spend a little bit of money to get quality. If you are building out a show where it is just you, then I would use a blue USB mic. I would use the Yeti. I would use an Audio-Technica mic, a Rhodes Podcaster, if you want to invest in the money. Those USB mics are going to sound great, but if you're going to do a group podcast like we do with our shows, you gotta invest in the board and the microphones. Otherwise, it's just not going to sound good, and you're not going to be happy with the quality. I've talked about the cords we use, the mic we use, the board that we started with. What did we record into? Well, we recorded initially at the beginning, and I apologize for the rattling. I'm moving the board here. We initially started out recording into a computer. At the Libertarian Party, I had a very nice, it was a Intel i7 core processor, 8 gigs of RAM. I had all the Adobe suite. That computer was sure not to fail, okay? And part of the problem that we've had in the past is we've tried to record from the USB board into my old laptop, which was, you know, Windows 7, 2 gigs of processing power, and we were trying to record into Audition, and that didn't work. We were trying to record into Audacity, which is an editing program, and that didn't work. And, you know, I eventually just started having to move the tower into the little podcast studio that we had. You know, and that sometimes wasn't foolproof either. There were times where we'd have to kind of stop and save it. I am not personally a fan of recording right into a computer. If you're recording music, then you need to. If you're using this equipment to record music, then you need to record directly into a computer. And if you're doing a podcast, then you can do the setup that I'm about to describe, which is we go out from the monitor out with a little cord, you know, which is basically two large plugs. It looks like we use a cord that has two prongs, which are the big fat prongs. Okay, I'm using a technical term, the two big fat prongs that then convert into one little cord that it looks like you'd plug into your iPod, okay? So these two big fat prongs, one side is left, one side is right, so it's a stereo cord that then feeds into the little cord that you'd use for your iPod, okay? And then we record into a Zoom H2N. We started losing shows. It was a hassle to try and set up every time. And, you know, when you record with a computer, every time you plug into the computer, the settings would be different. Something wouldn't work. It would delay the amount of time it would take to get set up. And it just was a pain in the butt. And the settings would get thrown off for no reason. I hated it. So for the first, like, 30 episodes of We Are Libertarians, we were just dumping right into Adobe Audition. Now we use something that is just a little bit simpler. We just dump right out of the monitor into the Zoom H2N, which is a little mobile recorder. I cannot recommend to you any other recorder besides the Zoom. The quality of the Zoom H2N is incredible, okay? It's got great sound. If we were sitting around a table and I put it on the four channels, it would pick up everybody's voice very, very nicely. If, you know, you're a reporter and you put the Zoom H2N right on the podium, it's going to pick up perfectly. It's a fantastic recorder for interviews and mobility. And what's even better is that when you plug one of the cords from the board into this recorder, it sounds perfect. I really, really, really like it. I just can't recommend anything else. And in fact, I'm going to get a second one to kind of complete the two setups. Just because we run into occasions where Maya wants to record her shows and I need to record We're Libertarians, or I need to do something else and I need the equipment, and it just becomes a pain in the butt. So we're trying to branch out and into having two sets of equipment, because currently we throw everything at the end of the show into a banker's box neatly, and then Maya will come and pick the banker's box of materials up, or I will go and pick up the box of materials and bring it back to my house, set it up, and then break it down back into the banker's box. So it'd be nice if, you know, I had my set of equipment and I were loaning her another set of equipment. So the reason you don't want to record music with this setup, where you're dumping from the monitor into the Zoom, is you lose the highs and the lows, okay? Because you're basically just using, anytime you use cords over an extended period of time, the longer the cord, the less the signal gets, okay? And so you want to use shorter cords when you can, so that way the signal is strong when it gets to the board, and you want to use you want a strong signal going from the board into the way you record it. When you record from a USB mixer into a computer, then you are getting the full range of sound, okay? You're not losing any of the highs or lows. You're not running the risk of any buzzing from those cords or maybe loose connections. You're not getting any of that. You're getting a perfect, clean digital signal. So if you're going to record music with this stuff, then I would work on making sure that you record into a computer. That being said, you still should get a Zoom, okay, just in case. It's $170. For most people, that is fairly cheap. And I would say even if you're thinking about doing a podcast on your own, you could get a USB mic. But you could also get a Zoom and do it that way. And then what you do is you just dump it from the Zoom directly into your computer via USB cord, and then edit the podcast up from there. You know, and it would sound just as good. You don't need to mess with the board. You've got the ability to do interviews with it. And for another $50, you can get a great little accessory pack that comes with a stand, a mic holder, a foam windbreaker. So it's really a great recorder. Okay, so those are the basics of what you're going to need to get the podcast recorded. Upgrades that we've made, we've upgraded the board, and I am currently talking into an MXL 990 microphone. It retails for about $100. I had a friend that actually gave it to me, and it sounds fantastic. It even gives me the ability to sound like I have a deep voice. So the microphone is, I'm actually going to keep that setting just a little bit. That's nice. I'm very self-conscious about my voice. I don't feel like I have a good radio voice at all. I really feel like for a person that loves podcasting, I'm the last person who should be doing one. Yet I'm going to soldier through. Apparently people are enjoying it. People are liking it. They're subscribing to the show. They're telling us it's their favorite podcast. So, hey, it can't be all bad. So, upgrades. That's what I was talking about. So we just ran into a point where people were starting to have to share the microphone. We'd have people come in and sit in and, you know, we'd have to switch around the mics, and that just creates a lot of mic wrestling. And if there's one thing I cannot stand, it's mic wrestling. I'm looking at you, Creighton Harrington. And the solution was getting a bigger board. And one of the members of We're Libertarians graciously purchased for the network the Yamaha MG124C. If you're writing this down, again, that is the Yamaha MG124C. And that gives us the ability to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 XLR microphones and two other microphones. So we can expand this bad boy into 8 ports. Now you combine that with the Alesis, which we can tie the two together, and then we'd have another 3 to 4 microphones. So we could have a really big party. and everybody could have a microphone. But the reason we upgraded is not just because it's a bigger board. It's also a better board. It's got better sound. It's got more options. If we get to the point, which we probably will pretty soon, where we'd get a DBX compressor, that would give us the ability to use that compressor because we can port in and out the compression. We can port in and out other effects. It's got more features. It's got built-in compression. You know, not as good as a DBX compressor, but it does have compression within the board. So it is better. The problem that we have is that it's not a USB board, so it doesn't digitally mix into the computer. So if we're trying to do like a Google Hangout, so like for the Shill Report is recorded in Greenwood, where I live, in Greenwood, Indiana, and South Bend, where Joe lives, and Fort Wayne, where Ryan lives, and we all connect via Google Hangout. And I need a digital board, not just an analog one that can mix all those signals together to get it into the recorder. And unfortunately, we can't use the Yamaha for that. I haven't been able to find an add-on, so if you're listening and you know, let me know. So the way that we do it is kind of we can mix the two together, the Alesis and the Yamaha, but that becomes a pain in the butt. But, you know, so we do have some flexibility there. We can use one or the other or both together to get the sound that we do. Now, so that's what I'm recording this show on. That's what we try to record most of the podcasts on. So you can, if you're editing the audio again, I can tell a difference between one board or the other. The Yamaha board sounds warmer. It's got better tone to it. It just is superior in sound quality, but it's probably not enough of a sound quality difference that by the time we kind of edit the podcast and scrunch it down and compress it to make the file a little bit smaller, you probably can't tell. So if you're looking for a little bit of a bigger board, it just depends on what your needs are going to be. I mean, we have the ability to do either. We can have a lot of people in studio, and we also have the ability to just have a few and get online at the same time and use Skype or anything. I mean, the USB board essentially becomes like a USB microphone. And it interacts with your computer as if you had, you know, a headset for Skyping plugged into your computer. So that's sort of how that works. Now, editing the show, you'll hear a lot of people recommend Audacity. And if you're going to go the free route, there isn't anything better than Audacity. Okay, Audacity is a very decent program, okay? It's going to get done what you need to get done. It's going to chop off the ends. It's going to let you come in and cut out the ums. It's going to let you output it as an MP3 after you download the thing. And it's not a bad little program, okay? But you get what you pay for. It's a free program. So you're not going to get a lot of bells and whistles. You're not going to get, you know, some of the tools that you might need to sweeten it up a little bit. And that's why I use Adobe Audition. It used to be called Cool Edit, and I learned how to use Audition back at the radio station in 2004 and when it was called Cool Edit. And then Adobe bought it and implemented it as part of the Creative Suite. And Audition is just a more robust, it's the radio industry standard. Some people will use, on Macs, they'll use GarageBand or Logic. And, you know, I don't even know what people on PCs use, probably just Audition. You know, anytime I hear one of the other podcasting podcasts talk about what they use to edit, they mention Audition too. Now, you get all kinds of sweeteners with it. If you have a podcast that, you know, when you're setting up the board and you can't figure it out, if you got this hiss in the background and you got this hum, there's ways to take some of that stuff out or lessen the amount of it. If you've got crappy old audio that you're converting that you want to play, let's say you've got a band, you know, your band audio from 1983 and it's on a cassette and you want to digitize it, you're going to want Audition, because then Audition can go in and kind of fix up some of that stuff and make it sound a little bit better. It's not going to be perfect. You've got to be pretty much a professional engineer to rebuild some of that tape, but you can get a good quality sound using Audition. And it's very easy to use. If you use Photoshop, if you use Illustrator, if you use some of the other creative suite, you know how it can be intimidating at first. And then once you kind of get the hang of it, it really starts to flow. So I can't recommend it enough. I've used it, you know, gosh, I feel old, 9 years now. And it really is a solid piece of equipment. Now, you're going to get sticker shock, okay? You're going to go to the Adobe website, or you're going to go on Amazon, and you're going to look up Adobe Audition, and you're going to say, holy crap on a cracker. That is over $300, and that is more than I am willing to spend. If you're buying Adobe software out of the box, then you're crazy, okay? You're officially crazy, because Adobe has now launched the Creative Cloud, and the Creative Cloud means that you will never have to update the software again. You buy the monthly subscription for the software, and then it will, you don't have to buy Adobe 7 and then Adobe 8 and then Adobe 10 and have to repurchase the software every single time. You just pay the monthly subscription, and then you're going to get the software as long as you pay the subscription. And every time they make updates, they're going to give you updates. And if you are a Creative Cloud subscriber, then you're going to get the updates before anybody else. The full Adobe suite, everything that they sell, is available in Creative Cloud for $50 a month. Okay, but they also have the ability for you to license other software for $20 a month. So let's say you want Photoshop, or you just want Audition, and you don't want Illustrator, you don't want Adobe Premiere, you don't want all that other stuff that you're not going to use, you just want the audio editing software, then you can get that for $20 a month, which I think $20 a month for a software like this is very, very good. You know, it makes it affordable, and it's not going to kill you. In the long run, it's certainly more than Audacity, but it can be worth it if you're willing to spend the money. If you have, let's say, a student in college, though, why don't you have your student in college just double check and make sure that they don't have a free download? But make sure that only the student is using that software, please. You know, if you know people in college, then they're able to use the software. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, well, now that I've told you to break the law, the way that I edit is just very simple. You know, if I hear mistakes during the show or Gina curses on the show, then I will mark down the time. And if you're recording just straight into the Audition software, you can hit the F8 button and it will create a little marker for you to see where the curses are or where the piece of information is. Like right now, I just belched. And you can tell because what I did is I went through and I listened to this whole episode and I found that one little piece where I belched and I cut that out. I didn't mark down the time because I'm actually going to go back and just listen to the whole episode, make sure that it sounds good. I'm going to take out the egregious breaths where you can hear me inhaling, and I'm going to take the volume for that little section. I'm not going to cut it out. I'm just going to shrink the volume down to zero on that. So you can't even tell I'm breathing. That's still there somewhere. It's just not audible. Maya goes through and Maya just listens to every takes out every really tries hard to make her stuff sound good. With We're Libertarians, sometimes it can be an hour and a half, 2 hours long, and I just don't have the time to go listen to that and make it a three-hour adventure when I've spent 2 hours the night before recording it. So I will mark down the times, and I will, you know, if we mess up and there's an obvious mess up, then I'll turn the mics off for a few seconds so there's a dead space there so that way I can go and edit it. And then I go in and I add the music after all these shows. So we don't actually have live music. I have the ability to do that. I can add sound effects. I can add the music live by plugging plugging one of those cords that I spoke about earlier into my iPad, and I have a little program called SoundSlate, Sound, S-L-A-T-E, And SoundSlate is a little sound effects machine. And it's like an $8 app that you can get, and you can load all kinds of sounds in there and assign it. I just got the iPad mini, so I haven't had time to go in and adjust all that. So we may get to that point. But the way that I mix in the music now is I take the individual sound files. You know, you hear the Audible commercial at the beginning of We Are Libertarians. You hear the credit to the artist that does the music at the end. I edit those in. I have those just in little files that I just drop into the beginning and the end. And then in another track, I drop in the music and adjust the volume accordingly. And in Audition, there's, you have your individual track, and then you also have the multi-track editor positions. And I just can't walk you through that. I'd watch the videos if you get Audition and watch how to do that. I'd watch YouTube videos on how to do it, or, you know, hey, message me and I can walk you through it with screenshots. And so I add the music in later. I think if you do music live, it does make the quality a little bit better. I think you rise to the occasion. You try to talk to the music instead of just sort of opening it. But we just, until I got the iPad, I haven't been able to go through and add the sound effects in. We did at one time have that, but then my iPad got stolen, and so we no longer have that, so we've been editing in the music. Music rights, we have a great musician that lets us use his stuff as long as we give him credit, and I hope that people have gone and found Brian Keith Wallen's music based on our podcast, because he is such a good musician. I found a musician that I thought really, that I like, that I want to support. I found a piece of music that I thought this just fits. And so I used it after asking his permission, and that's just become our theme song. And, you know, that's probably the best way to do it, is just find a local musician that you like and say, hey, I'm doing this podcast. Can I use your music as an intro or outro? Not all podcasts under this rule, including even some on the network, you're not allowed to use copyrighted music at all. And I don't know, we have Brian's permission, but ASCAP and BMI, they're so weird. Like, they send people out to listen to all these things. I just wouldn't recommend using copyrighted music whatsoever. I would go to Audio Jungle or Pond 5, and I would find a piece of music and buy it off of one of those stock websites, or find a local musician and get their written permission, asking them, say, hey, can we use this, and having them write back. And that's how I'd find music for your podcast. I wouldn't risk it. You know, who knows how many people are going to listen to a podcast and turn you in for using copyrighted music, but it's just better safe than sorry. You know, you don't want to get the cease and desist letter, and you do want to honor musicians and their work. So that's, you know, why we have the music that we have and how you get there. Now, once you've got it all outlined in the multi-track editor, then you export it to the following sizes: 64 kilobytes per second, 441000 something hertz something, and mono. Okay. CD quality is about 128. 96 is a little bit better. That's sort of a low end. That's probably a little lower, a little higher than tape. 64 is fairly low. I would not go any lower than 64 kilobytes per second. Okay. The higher that number is, the better the quality is going to be. But the thing is we're not using music. Okay. We're not talking about music. We're talking about spoken word. And we're talking about long spoken word. We're talking about hour to 2 hour podcasts. And you don't want to kill people's space on their iPhones or iPads or, you know, whatever crappy Android device that you might be using. And the higher you go, the more space you're going to take up, and it's going to sound great, and people are going to be able to hear the high-def sound of your voice at 128, but you compare 64 and 96, or 64 and 128, and, you know, people are just not going to miss it. They're not going to hear the difference when you're talking about spoken word. You will with music, but you're not going to with spoken word. And I think even at 64 kilobits per second across our network, you hear warmth coming through, you hear quality sound, you hear the quality materials that we use to produce the podcast on the front end. And when you put good stuff in, good stuff is going to come out. Now, if you put in crappy audio into Audition and then you export it at 192 kilobytes per second or 320 kilobytes per second, it's still going to sound like crap. So you've got to make sure that at every point you're trying to make your stuff sound good. You know, if you're talking about going through one of these phone sites, like, you know, some podcasts will use freeconferencingcall.com, or some podcasts will use the Blog Talk Radio, and that's at like 32 kilobytes per second. That's half of 64, and I just don't know how, if you're using Blog Talk Radio, you feel like you're respecting your audience at all. You're recording at such a low rate. I mean, God love the guys at Earwolf. They produce some unique stuff. They produce some great podcasts, like the Jeff Garland podcast, for instance, I think is excellent. But they output their stuff at like 32 kilobytes per second, and it just becomes unlistenable. And I think they're doing it to save on bandwidth and space. And when you have the amount of downloads that those guys have, I understand that, and I understand cutting the cost there, but I just can't listen to the podcast because, you know, the podcast, the guys at Earwolf, you know, and please forward this on to the guys at Earwolf. You know, it's not a slam because I think they do great content. I just as a listener want to be respected a little bit more. I want to hear your content at a frame rate that is, you know, listenable. You know, it's like listening through the phone. So that's my appeal to the guys at Earwolf. You know, hey, please make sure that bit rate gets raised up a little bit, and maybe, you know, charge something or do something different with a little bit of the business model to offset that bandwidth cost. Okay, so once we've got the file and we've edited it all down, where do we take it from there? Now, we dump it into my servers. ChrisSpangle.com is my originating website, and then from there I've built about 20-some different websites, including We Are Libertarians, Creating Maya, all the sites that you initially connect with. They are far, far, far more traffic than my ChrisSpangle.com blog, which I don't even really write on. And that's where a lot of the files. So if you look at the actual audio file, it says chrisspangle.com/podcast/WAL/ 0010-WA.mp3. Okay, so that's why it says that. We just, because we use Bluehost, which I can't recommend enough. I've used Bluehost since 2007. I really like them. I've never had a problem with them. I've never had, you know, the upload and download times. I don't think are unreasonable for the for what we use our account for. You know, most sites probably put 5-page business sites into their Bluehost account, or they host their WordPress blog. You know, we have several different sites, and we have, you know, gigabits of content from these podcasts in there, and they do a really good job of making sure that it's served all the time, that site is never down, and the cost is just under $10 a month for hosting, and I really recommend Bluehost. And if you want to help us out, go to wearelibertarians.com, and on the front page you'll see a Bluehost banner. Click on that if you're going to buy a Bluehost, and that gives us a credit, and that will help go fund the We Are Libertarians network. And we use WordPress on all of our structures, and you know, we just do category podcasting with the Blueberry podcast plugin. And then we take that feed from Blueberry, and I hope I'm saying that right, we put that into FeedBurner, and that gives us some statistics. I don't think the statistics are always, I mean, you get a rough estimate of, you know, how many subscribers you've had, and how many people are listening to an episode. You know, we have about 350 subscribers on average to We Are Libertarians, and have about 600 to 700 people an episode listening. And I think if you would have told us that in January, when we all kind of revamped We Are Libertarians a little bit, I don't think that we could have predicted that we'd have those kind of numbers. And it just grows every week, and we're just ecstatic by that. And, you know, the addition of the network, you know, which, let's be honest about the network. The network for the We Are Libertarians Radio Network, the WAL Radio Network, is essentially just cross-branding. You know, it's one site where we publish some podcasts, wal-radio.com, but it's really just kind of a branding thing. It's not like, you know, we're a group of friends who like to podcast each other. We're arrogant enough to think that we're interesting and unique enough to give you our point of view. And, you know, one person will say, you know, Gina, for instance, says, I want to do a show. And, okay, well, let's do it. And it turns out to be really interesting and unique, just like Gina is. You know, Ryan Ripley messages me and said, you know, you're right about all this Zimmerman media stuff. I want to do a show, and I want to do it about media critique. And I had been thinking the same thing. And so, you know, Ryan, Joe, and I do the show report. Rob Kendall sent me a note and said, hey, I'm not your traditional libertarian or anarchist. I'm a Republican libertarian. I do a show. Would you mind carrying it and giving us a podcast feed? And I said, absolutely, because I think his show is really good. His show is really interesting, and it fits. I think, you know, you've got Rob Kendall sort of at the... I don't want anybody to get offended by this, okay, because it's not a slam at all. But Rob versus Maya, they're like the two ends of the spectrum of the libertarian world, okay? You've got Maya, who doesn't even vote, and then you've got Rob, who is a little more comfortable with the Republican Party and the way things are. I mean, I'm not going to call him a statist, but he's certainly, you know, Maya thinks Rob's impure, and Rob thinks Maya's nuts, okay? And then We Are Libertarians is somewhere in the middle. And I don't think that that's a value judgment. It's just it reflects the broader libertarian movement. And so we've tried to put on podcasts that reflect the broadness of the libertarian movement, you know, from somebody who likes Rand Paul and is comfortable with Rand Paul to somebody who thinks Rand Paul is the devil because he's not pure enough, and everybody in between. And, you know, we have a definite mission for the types of shows that we want to do, the type of message that we want to put out, and they all originate from, you know, the same little group of people. So, you know, if you don't feel like We Are Libertarians updates enough, then you've got the show report, you've got Maya's shows, you've got Gina's podcast, you've got Rob and April on the Rob Kendall show. And we're putting out now, instead of just, you know, 1 hour a week like we used to this time last year, we're now putting out 3, 4, 6, 7 hours a week now of content for you to listen to. And we're constantly talking about how we can add new material, create new content, create new podcasts, or do the podcast differently to suit what people want. So, you know, that is our goal. Our goal is really to entertain people and give out information that we don't think is talked enough about. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you don't like the media that you're getting or the media that you're not getting, then create your own media. And I don't feel libertarians are represented enough. And I think when libertarians represent themselves, oftentimes it's in a poor light. And one of the reasons that we created We Are Libertarians and the We Are Libertarians Radio Network is to present libertarianism in a different way. Now, Maya is a totally anomaly, totally an anomaly from everything that I'm describing. But we want to put a happy, positive face on libertarianism, and we want to make it accessible, and we don't want to make it too egg-heady. We don't want to rant against you because you believe a certain thing, or, you know, if you're a Republican libertarian, cool. If you're a libertarian libertarian, cool. If you don't want to vote because you're too libertarian, fine with us. You know, we want to entertain you and want to inform you. and we want to make you think. We want to piss you off. We want to make you laugh. And, you know, I think there's too much of one type of libertarian talk out in the podcast world, and we wanted to do something a little bit differently. And that is really the guiding philosophy of the We Are Libertarians Radio Network. You know, but it is no more than recording the podcast, taking the file, uploading them to the WordPress site, creating the RSS feed, putting the RSS feed in as many places as possible, and then blasting it out to Facebook and marketing it. And, you know, marketing is really sort of the challenge here. Marketing is, you know, penetrating it, you know, saying, hey, I know you like the Lou Rockwell podcast. You're going to love Maya. You know, you love the Lou Rockwell podcast. Well, try We Are Libertarians. It's a little bit different, but it's similar. You know, you like Howie Kurtz and you like journalism talk, then check out the Show Report. You know, if you want to think differently about the media, try the Show Report. If you want to, I don't even know what Gina's show is. I'll just be straight up. Gina's show is sort of our first foray into comedy. I guess it's comedy, but it's just different and it's unique and it's interesting. And Gina says some things on that show that I'm like, you want me to edit that out? Do you want me to put that out there? Yes, I want to put that out there. I want people to think this way and I want them to hear a different point of view and leave it in. Okay, fine, cool. So, I mean, it's really a unique and diverse group of people coming together to put out what I think is a good product. And if you've got suggestions on how to put the product, you know, what would you like to hear differently? What annoys you? What do you want more of? One of the reasons that we started The Uncontrollables and Maya started doing her show is because Maya would come on We Are Libertarians and people just were like, I really like Maya. I want more Maya. And so we started doing The Uncontrollables. We created Maya created her show for Indiana Talks and it's gone on for 20 episodes now, slated to be canceled at any time. And, you know, people said they wanted more We Are Libertarians. Well, we just as a group can't do a second We Are Libertarians show a week. But Ryan wanted to do a podcast that was in a similar vein, but with a different sort of spin. And part of what we've done at We Are Libertarians is critique the media. So we've added another show. So, you know, Ryan was a listener and came up with a concept for a show, had been contributing to the blog. We knew what kind of guy he was. We knew he had an interesting take on things. And when he came up with the idea for a show, we added it. And it's, you know, it's growing like gangbusters. And he's got a plan to interview some really, really cool people in the future. Not just bitch about the media every week and point out different ways to think about the media, but also to discuss and dissect the libertarian media and say, you know, hey, how'd you get your start? How do you view your role in the libertarian media? And how can other people do that too? So look for that on the Show Report coming up. So, well, I feel like I've said too much. If you're still listening by now, you are the one hardcore WAL Radio Network fan. You are a beautiful human being, you. okay, so just to wrap up. You got to get good quality stuff. You got to make it sound good. Don't insult your audience by having bad quality. And don't insult your audience by not having a good product, not having good content. You know, the world is full of comedians interviewing comedians. The world is full of NPR podcasts. The world is full of one guy yelling into a microphone and, you know, there's not a lot of interesting group podcasts, you know, so we tried to do something different. We tried to say, okay, we're libertarians. We like libertarianism. We feel like we've got something unique to say. How can we do it in a unique way? So don't think of it as I can do Mark Maron better than Mark Maron can do himself. I can out-Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh. Okay. Don't try to do the Leo Laporte of libertarianism, okay? Be yourself. Be unique. Think of a need. Fill the need. And be an entrepreneur with it. The world already has tech podcasts, and Leo Laporte does them probably better than you're going to be able to do them. But there may be a way to present tech news or libertarianism in a different way that's unique that people might not hear, and it may fill a need, and, you know, good on ya. Numbers, you know, a successful podcast can be whatever your definition of success is. You know, our definition of success is it's not 100 million downloads a day. That's not reasonable. So we're not going to kill ourselves. We are ecstatic that we have 600 people listening an episode. That blows our mind that we have that many people listening. That we're happy with that number. We're happy with 350 subscribers. We want it to grow, and we know we can make it grow by putting out a better product and improving our product and responding to customer feedback, essentially. But we're not expecting that by 6 months from now we need to have Adam Carolla levels. Adam Carolla is Adam Carolla, and he's an anomaly. Leo Laporte is an anomaly. They got in at a certain point. Really, what you need to focus on with your podcast is define your community and serve that community well. And put out interesting, unique content. As far as equipment goes, I've given you a few pointers on how we do it, what we like, what we've kind of learned over the last little bit. Another thing I'd say is have a defined set of characters. You know, we all have our personalities, and we play those personalities up a little bit. We exaggerate our personalities. Maya is certainly not Maya, all the time. That is an aspect of Maya's character, but it's not who she always is. You know, Greg is not a Southern white racist. he really isn't, I promise. And, you know, we sort of define our characters a little bit on the show and emphasize some of those points for laughs. So define your characters. I really, 2 to 4 people on a podcast is ideal. I don't think a single-person podcast really ever works. I'm sure that if you're listening at this point, you're going, yeah, you're right. I know exactly what you mean. I just think conversation, people enjoy listening to conversations, and it's an intimate thing to put a pair of people's conversations into your ear and, you know, respect that intimacy a little bit. Couple resources that I would, you know, I'm not going to do this again. I've kind of filled in all the gaps on who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, as far as a network and how we operate. But if you really want to get in-depth information, I would check out a couple podcasts and websites. It's the Podcast Answer Man and also the School of Podcasting. Those two podcasts do some great. They give out great information on marketing your podcast, building your podcast. They have some resources that you can take, so you can go to the podcasting school. So check those guys out. I think they're really helpful, and it is entertaining and fun to listen to hear what other podcasters are doing and saying. So I thank you for listening. It's been my pleasure, and I thank you for listening to all the shows. I certainly know that if you're listening to this episode, you're really interested in podcasting and you're interested in new media. You're interested in what we're doing. And, you know, I really thank you. I really cannot tell you how much we do appreciate that. And the kind words that you guys constantly give us behind the scenes through Facebook, through email. It really does mean a lot to us. And we thank you. And I would say, start your own podcast, and then send it to us, and I'll give you pointers, I'll give you tips, and then we'll promote you. So, as long as you're not crazy. If you're crazy, then, we promote Maya, so we might as well promote you too. So, thanks for listening to the behind the scenes of the We Are Libertarians Radio Network, and thank you for listening.